The question was asked if through scientific research one can verify new information, and one spends the time researching and investigating, can one then say, I disagree with the rabbis of the Talmud because I understand science better? So the truth is that this is a very broad question. The angle you're asking from really deserves a limited answer, but the question deserves a broad answer. So I think maybe we should address the broader topic, at least to some degree. You're asking from a perspective of can I argue on the rabbis just because I know more science? And then the answer would be, you cannot argue on them, because in order to argue, you really need to know what they knew in Talmud, not only in science. But what you can do is take the new scientific information and bring it to someone who is a master of Torah. Rav Ovadia Yosef has, on a daily basis, he has meetings with scientists. It's part of his daily regimen to be up to date on the new findings in electricity, the new findings in medicine, so that his rulings are up to date with the what's happening today in technology. And the same is true of many rabbis. I can tell you that even little old me had a chavruso with an electrician. Once a week, I used to sit with an electrician and learn with him the laws of Shabbos, and we'd learn books on electricity on Shabbos, so that he could explain to me how the different parts of a refrigerator work, how the different parts of a LED light work. Because I know I have to understand it from a scientific perspective as well. I consult with doctors on a regular basis. People come with shaylos. There almost isn't a day that I'm not on the phone with at least one doctor. So it's true that we do have to tap into science, but the knowledge of science isn't enough to overrule our rabbinic ruling from earlier generations. You have to really know if you understood that ruling, where it was coming from, where it was going to, etc. It's not enough to simply study science. And this is an important point. Approximately almost a decade ago. Almost, it's mamash now, it's about a decade ago. It's exactly now, this time of year, I guess it's a decade ago. I accompanied a couple to a doctor who is a learned person. The couple had a certain problem with pregnancy, and the doctor, who is not only a good gynecologist, also liked to learn. He learned his daf yomi. He was into learning. And we're by the doctor, and the doctor tells the couple, look, I just wrote a whole article why such a complication in pregnancy, it's permissible for you guys to abort the baby. And I thought I was going to fall off my seat. So I didn't want to challenge him. You know, whose smicha do you have? I just asked him for the facts that were relevant. But he was standing there going on and on about why, yes, they should abort the baby. And he's saying it's not a problem because scientifically and halachically. I told him one point that Rabbi Feinstein writes in a responsa that he totally didn't factor in his analysis of what the halacha should be. And he said, well, I didn't learn that way. Okay, so he didn't learn the Gemara that way. I'm very sorry. You know, where is he ever quoted in halachic ruling? Whoever takes him into account? But because his expertise was in medicine, and he really is a good doctor, he allowed himself to take that knowledge into another field, which is not his expertise. The fact that he learns daf yomi and he sat down and tried to write a nice research paper for a Torah journal, that's very nice. But to come with a halachic ruling on questions of life and death of a fetus, you got to really know what you're talking about, which unfortunately I don't think he did from our conversation. So that's why it's a little bit dangerous. When a person feels like I know the knowledge of science and therefore I can know how to apply it in Torah. I'll just demonstrate with a small story. There was a Rebbe in Sochachev, Avnei Nezer. His son wrote the Shem Yishmuel. The Rebbe of Sochachev, he wrote famous works in Chassidut, and also in response and halacha, called the Avnei Nezer. And he was the Chassidish Rebbe. Now, he was a super genius, and when he was 18, so the community wanted him to be the Rebbe. So they got together, and they came to him and said, "We want to appoint you as our Rebbe." And he said, "Sorry, I can't." So they asked him, "Why not?" So he said, "Because I learned all of Shas except for the last order, Taharos. I haven't mastered Taharos yet. And so I can't be your Rebbe." So the community went back and wrote a contract. And in the contract, they all wrote, "And we will not ask you any questions from the order of Taharos. We sign, we promise, we won't ask you any questions from that one order." Taharos, how relevant is Taharos, right? Taharos is, you have Nida, which is relevant, but the rest of Taharos is all about laws of purity and impurity that today you don't encounter that too much. Where's it relevant? Out in Chutzlaritz. So they came back to him with this contract. They want him as rabbi, and they promised they won't ask him any questions from Taharos. And he said, "No, because if I didn't learn Taharos yet, then I don't know the rest of Shas well. Because the way Shas is built, the words of Torah are sometimes elaborated on in a place where you least expect it. And you have to have the breadth of knowledge in order to know what you're talking about. Just because you learned one tractate or one subject, that's a modern way of approaching Talmud, and it's pretty incomplete. That's it's not the way to go, and you can't really rule from that. That's a wrong way to learn."
So he's saying that the information could actually be in that part of the Talmud, or are we saying that the mastery of that subject somehow aids in the general global knowledge of the entire rest of the Torah and its underlying philosophy or what have you?
Both. Right. I'll give you an example. When Rabbi Feinstein wrote his responsa about opening soda cans on Shabbos, so the logic he uses about the issue of soda cans, he takes from a Mishnah in Kalim, a Mishnah that describes when a vessel becomes pure or defiled, the Mishnah from Taharos. So the Torah is all-encompassing, but you have to have a broad knowledge of the Torah in order to apply it. It's not enough to just open up one page and say, "Okay, I mastered this page, now I know it." The more you know, the more you understand that one page. And there are sometimes things that are relevant to that one page in the most far-out places. Now, the question of science and Torah, at the end of the day, is a big question. The Talmud discusses spontaneous generation. And that has relevance. The Talmud says you can comb your hair for lice. You could kill lice on Shabbos because lice aren't considered to reproduce. And so there's no prohibition in killing them on Shabbos. Today we understand how lice reproduce. So now what? Are we allowed to kill lice on Shabbos or not? So this became a very big question ever since spontaneous generation was disproven. So this has been an ongoing debate and discussion. It's relevant today to the worms that are found in the belly of fish, where the Talmud also says those worms, because they grew inside the fish, they're okay. And today we know that the fish swallows those worms from outside. So then those worms can be problematic, or at least that's a big discussion, etc. So there are many halachic applications to this.
Wait a second. Does that mean if you go fishing and you catch a fish by virtue of worm being the bait, it means you're not allowed to eat the fish because since the fish eat the worm, it's not kosher?
Well, we assume that at some point the fish digests the worms it eats, and or whatever it eats, and that's okay. But some worms stay alive inside the fish.
No, I'm saying, like, you catch a fish and then that day you gut it and fry it. It's not kosher.
I don't know enough about how that works, but that sounds right. It sounds like, from what you're telling me, it sounds like the worm might be whole and alive inside the fish. It didn't digest anything yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that sounds like that would be a problem. I don't know. I never looked into this, but the simple understanding is that sounds like that could be a problem. The Talmud discusses at what point of digestion it becomes a part of the animal. But with regard to fish, I don't remember with regard to fish. The issue with these worms are that they're alive inside the fish. I have to check. I don't remember offhand. So, at any rate, this subject was discussed. There's much response written on it, and it deserves a series. Meaning, we do take modern science, and then the question is how we apply it. if we take the example of lice, so then one of the most accepted opinions is that when the Talmud said that lice don't reproduce, what the Talmud was telling us is a halachic definition, not a scientific definition. The reproduction of lice is not categorized as reproduction by the Torah. And therefore, the lice are not considered a being that's prohibited from killing on Shabbos. If you say the Talmud was discussing science, so then once you discover otherwise, you can't do it on Shabbos. If you say that the Talmud was discussing a halachic definition, by halachic definition, that's not called poreverabe. The fact that you can have an amoeba, the fact that you could have different protozoa, you could have different bacteria that will replicate themselves, that doesn't mean they reproduce, by halachic definition. So then it could be, what some suggest is that when the Talmud defined for us that lice don't reproduce, what the Talmud was saying is, by halachic definition, that's not called reproducing. It's not a question of science, it's a question of a halachic definition. So that's one approach. There's much more to be said on the topic, but again, that wasn't the angle you were asking from, so I don't think...
So we're saying that if they were discussing science, it's not binding, but if they're discussing halacha, they have the din of a Sanhedrin, and like you can't overturn it without a new one. So any like issue like that would have to stay. And then it's a question of, do we know what they were talking about? Was it science or was it halacha?
Right. Right. Yeah. That was a very accurate description. Correct. If they're telling me science, so if I know better, then I have to work with what I know. We work with the doctors of the day. The Talmud said it's recommended to eat fish just before they spoil. Tosfos says, don't do that. You could get very sick. So we're not sure which fish are they talking about. Maybe they're talking about a specific fish in a specific pond, in a specific place in Babylon. You better know what they're talking about when they're talking about science. So there are certain things the Talmud discusses, which... if it's in science, so then they consulted with the doctors of their day, and we have to consult with the doctors of our day. We work with our medication, we work with our doctors, and we do the best we can.
They weren't the doctors of their day?
Sometimes they were, and sometimes they weren't. Shmuel was a doctor. There were many doctors, but not... Yeah. But even their doctors were trained by the medicine of their day.